You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone pastors the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hope of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. This Tim Hortons today is brought to you with my wife in mind, because I love her. We're going to talk about marriage counseling. Brother Wolven and I thought, who better to have on the broadcast with us than you? Because if anybody has needed marriage counseling, it was you. Your wife doesn't, but you do.
Oh, man, I was just thinking the opposite.
Your wife needs counseling?
Yeah. I would never need counseling.
You need some serious counseling if you don't think you need counseling. Your wife is going to get some serious rewards in heaven.
Amen, brother.
Serious.
Amen.
You're not getting both of ours for sure. Hey, seriously, though, I think today's younger preacher is looking for some help with the idea of counseling. More and more people, I believe, are in need of some help with their marriages today. I think a lot of young preachers have been caught off guard with some of the seriousness of the problems in counseling today and the need for counseling. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I have not done a lot of counseling in my office. I've done some. Most of my counseling is this. I will tell people, if you want my help, come for 13 weeks. I will preach a series of messages on your problem. At the end of the 13 weeks, if you still have a problem, we'll sit down in my office and I'll go another 13 weeks with you in my office alone. And I find that most times either people don't respond to that at all because they're not really looking for help, or within the first few weeks, they find what they're looking for and I don't have to carry that out. So that's kind of what I've done. What have you done for counseling, especially marriage counseling, to help people?
We're trying to think about young guys in the ministry, at least that's what we're directing our podcast to, younger right. people in the ministry, whether it's a pastor or not. Do you remember whenever you had your very first counseling appointment with somebody?
Hmm.
I mean, how
yes.
nervous you were? I guess probably going up from that aspect, there's always, and I've been doing this for 35 years now, there is always a fear, a trepidation, a nervousness whenever you're counseling with people, and to a certain degree, a feeling of ineffectiveness, or, well, I don't know if I'm really an authority on this. And I'd like to encourage every preacher, look, if you are the pastor, in the minds of your people, you are an authority on the Bible. Now, it doesn't mean we know every single Bible question, but we're an authority on the Bible to our people. And that's what counseling mainly is trying to meet the Bible to where people are living. It's okay to say, you know, I'm going to be doing some study myself. I'm going to try to be answering some of the questions that you're going to be answering myself. So that's the very first thing that I want to encourage with guys is you can do it.
I think, too, that a lot of guys, when we start out, we don't have a lot of marital experience. And that's part of
yeah.
the problem. You come in as a young preacher, a young person, and you're still figuring out marriage yourself. And here you've got a couple that's maybe been married 5, 6, 10, 20 years, and they want you to tell them, you know, how to do. So that, I think, too, is a scare factor for some guys, too, that they don't have that experience. But you're absolutely right. That's a great statement that they do look to you for that authority. What's some of the things that you use in marriage counseling that have been a help to you? Resources.
Well, you know, over the years, I've wound up having to answer a lot of difficult questions. And so I really do try to prepare for counseling like I would prepare for a sermon series. And so because I've gone through different series or different sessions, different topics in a more thorough way, now at least I have a generic point of attack that I can go to, and then as the Holy Spirit would bring other things to mind, you know, sort of like the idea, if you know the Romans Road plan of salvation that's the beginning of being able to witness to somebody. And as you're witnessing, you may go to 1 John. You may wind up going to the book of John. You may wind up using Psalm 23. There's a lot of things you may sort of deviate as you're going through a pattern, but you feel comfortable because you have a plan of attack, so to speak. You have a pattern that you're trying to follow. And so I have never sat down in a counseling session without notes, without a plan of some sort, and just sort of like, well, let's just talk and see where we wind up. I think that's a disaster waiting to happen.
Two things that I recommend, fellas, write this down, play this back. Brother Walton, I don't know if you've used them or not, but two books that I have read, I have had my wife read, I have had so many couples read. Number one, Love and Respect by Egriches is the name. Egriches, Love and Respect. Boils it down to this: women need love, men need respect. And in most failed marriages, one of those, and usually both of those, are not being met. A woman doesn't feel loved, so she doesn't respect her husband, or she doesn't respect her husband, and he doesn't in turn show that love. It is a phenomenal, phenomenal book. Every young couple getting married, I have them read it. Any marriage counseling problems, I have them read it. And then the other one is Every Man's Battle. It deals with pornography, and I got to tell you, in most of my marriage counseling experiences, that is a huge bulk of the problem. And I have women read that as well. Now, it's very blunt. It is very, it's written towards guys, but I think wives need to read that. They need to understand what happens when that stuff comes into a guy's life. And those two books have probably been a greater help than anything I've ever used outside of the Bible, of course. You start with that. Yes. I think that's a given. But those two. Have you got any resources that you use that you found really good?
Let me sort of give the second point, and I can answer that in this. So the first point is, don't be afraid. You are an expert of the Bible to your people. Number two is I always require some kind of homework for people to do. It may be go out on a date. It may be fill out these papers. It may be read these passages and pray together every night. And along with that is you need to be in church every single service this week or the next two
Absolutely.
Weeks before we meet. And so if those individuals do not complete what I've asked them to do, I won't meet with them anymore. Because they're
right.
not serious. They're in a crisis mode. Once the crisis passes, they don't really want to work at their marriage, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
If they don't do those things, either do the reading, and of course, books like that can be phenomenal. I have quite a few different books. I can't really think of a whole lot of them right now, but I've got probably about 25 to 30 books on marriage, and I wrote yours down. I want to go ahead and grab them and add to my
oh, yeah.
things. And but you're right. If we have to deal with some of the very minute particulars of the husband and wife physical relationship, I've found that it's better that they read a book and discuss it among each other than necessarily relate to me all of the intimate details of something that ought to remain private.
Mm-hmm. I will say this too, that I would say 7, 8 out of 10 times that couple comes looking for someone to side with them. They're not necessarily looking to find an answer to the problem, and they're not specifically not looking at themselves. They're looking at their spouse and what they're doing wrong. They may say, well, you know, I'm wrong, but they're looking for someone to say, oh, no, you're right. It's her or it's him, and they're at fault. And that's what they're looking for. And when they don't find that in your counsel, a lot of times they don't want any more, and they won't seek it out. Do you find that to be true or no?
Yeah, I think so. They definitely, one person usually is the one driving the reason why you're there, and the one driving the purpose of coming is the one that wants you generally to side with them,
right.
And it becomes a us against you kind of a situation,
mm-hmm.
and it can be obviously very counter-effective of trying to get anything done, and that's one of the first things you've got to do is, look, if you need to get this off your chest, so to speak, and just let me arbitrate, fine. If you need to talk for 20, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, but at the end of this, we're going to go on and get to the situation. After that first meeting, if neither one is saying, I am 100% totally committed to this marriage, mm-hmm. there's no use to go to counseling session number two.
No,
so
no.
If they need to get something off their chest, fine. But after that first meeting, that's where I'm sort of generally setting up what needs to be done, when we're going to meet again, what kind of attack that I'm usually going to go at. So you do have to listen to a generic session, so to speak. But, you know, there has to be that commitment. And you don't want to wind up ganging up one, two against one, because then that one doesn't ever want to come back.
No. I will say this, too, that most men do not want to go to counseling. To get a man to come to marriage counseling is very, very difficult, number one. And number two, if they do come, I consider that they are either very desperate, they're going to lose their marriage and they realize this is a last recourse, or they may absolutely want some help. And if they get to that point, there's a good chance of helping them. But most men do not want to go to counseling, because no man wants to admit to another man that he needs help. That's a sign of weakness, and that goes against that respect, that love and respect. We want to be respected, and there's no respect for a man that can't make his marriage work in his mind. So that's another thing.
Right. Two guys can be at a lunch table, and some guy has four purple hearts on his chest, and he finds out the other guy is going to marital counseling. It's like, gee, I'd hate to be you, you know?
Absolutely. What are some things that you've used that you think have been very successful in marriage counseling, either in maybe phrases or verses or
passage? Well, you know, there's nothing that is sort of a template to go by, yet there is a template in Scripture. You know, you've got 1 Peter 3, you've got Ephesians 5. You know, those are two passages that you can continually go to, and I could preach out of those passages probably 20, 30 sermons just out of those two passages, because there is so much there. I try to go to also not just Ephesians 5, where it begins, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband. I back up to where we need to be filled with the Spirit, because it is impossible to do what God commands whenever we are not allowing the Spirit of God to have free work in our life. And so the things that God commands, it takes some supernatural spiritual power.
If you're not submitting to one another, you got to start in the submission. If you're not willing to submit, or if you're not submitting to one another, you're not going to love your wife or respect the wife that you should. And I think that's a big problem in our society today. We're not submitting. We have been fed that line that you're number one, look out for number one, you're entitled, you know, you're the master of your own destiny, and nobody's going to tell you what to do, and you have rights, and all of that goes against submitting yourselves one to another. And I think that's where a lot of it starts.
That's true. Probably another thing that I think is a very key point that I emphasize, I don't care who it is, I emphasize in the very first meeting, and I usually repeat it most every meeting, is what is said in this office will not leave this office.
Yes.
And I emphasize that over and over and over. And there are people that I've counseled even 30 years ago that to this day, I don't sit around and say, oh, yeah, I was talking to somebody one time. I just don't do that. As a pastor's kid myself, there were times as I was a teenager, older teenager, I felt like I could not go to anybody and tell them my problems because I was afraid. Now, I don't think it was a valid fear, but most fears aren't valid. But I was afraid that whoever I talked to on staff would either talk to my dad, who was also on staff, or as their pastor, or I felt like it may become sort of public knowledge to as they talk one among themselves. Once I got older, I realized, no, that really doesn't happen, not near like what somebody would think that it would. But I try to really emphasize this is private, and I am not the kind of person, I never look out across the people in our auditorium say, oh, yeah, and them, they went through this, and they went through this. I mean, it's one of the things God has helped me with. I can just forget some things in that manner as I deal with people in a different manner from the pulpit than I would across the desk.
I'm going to give you a loaded question here, and we'll close out with these thoughts. If you could give one piece of advice to a younger preacher who is coming into this whole idea of counseling and directing others, to both he and his wife, pastor and his wife, what's one thing you'd say, this is a must, or this was very effective, or this is the thing I want to leave with you about marriage counseling? What would it be? And then I'll give you mine when you're done.
It would have to be read your Bible and pray together every night. Oftentimes, whenever I will talk to people, and I've said before in one of our podcasts, I'll meet with a lady one time, certainly with other people in the building, but by myself in the office one time. After that, either she meets with ladies herself or my wife will always be there. But anytime I'm counseling a woman, I will always say, now, would you mind if I shared this with my wife as a prayer request as we pray together about this? And so some of those things, I don't go into great detail, but I go through those things and I rely upon my wife and her wisdom. She is a godly woman. She has a lot of godly wisdom. I believe that she has the gift of discernment, and she's a unique lady. And so that's, for me, I think that has to be that basis of being one, your whole marriage.
I tell people this, and I have them repeat this phrase, it's not about me. It's not about me. My marriage isn't about me. It's about her.
Amen.
My marriage is about us. It's not about me. If I am self-centered, if I think I've got to be satisfied, I've got to be met, you're never going to be happy in your marriage. Because you have to come together as one. And the problem is we have so many marriages today that are divided. She has a bank account. He has a bank account. She has a softball team. He has a softball team. And very little do couples ever do together. And that's been a problem for a long time. I think, you know, we look at, you know, our grandparents and they had great marriages. But I think a lot of women back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s would say, I didn't have a great marriage. It wasn't very fulfilling. I had a strong husband who led and I followed his wife, but I didn't feel fulfilled. So I think sometimes, somewhere, we've got to get that in mind, that it is not about me. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ, number one, and then it's about her, and then it's about me, or it's about him and that. But that, to me, would be that advice.
The goal that I have for everybody that comes in and meets with me as far as marriage is to get them to the point where they truly understand marriage is ministry. Marriage is ministry, and it's the greatest ministry that you can have. And, you know, to make that comparison with, we understand how we can minister to a Sunday school class or minister to a bus route or in a discipleship program, but to minister, to be a minister to your spouse is the greatest thing you can do.
Absolutely. Hey, let's go home and hug on our wives and kiss them and tell them we love them. I think we should do that.
That sounds fun.
It does.
But you go to your wife and I'll
yes,
go to mine.
Absolutely. No problem. And guys that are listening to this and ladies that are listening to this today, do that. Go home and appreciate your spouse. Ladies, if you want your husband to love you more than ever, go home and say, honey, you're a blessing. Thank you for being the man that you are. I love and I respect you. And I'll tell you what, it'll make a huge difference in him. And guys, go home and tell your wife, honey, I just love you. It'll make a world of difference. This is Tim Talks. I'm Al Stone.
Dan Wolven from Columbus, Ohio, where we love our wives and we love our Buckeyes.
Go Bucks. And we love our Tim Hortons here on the north of the border. Have a great day. This is Tim Talks.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM talks.com.